I want to thank you for many of you who prayed for me. I had a safe trip, came back from Alaska. I had a wonderful time. I wanted to show you real quick the family picture of our missionary. This is Rob Riopel. Rob and Lucy and one of their three daughters, Sarah, with a specially delivered youth group shirt, courtesy of Junior. I don't know if she, yes. Beautiful design. I went all the way to Alaska. This is our wonderful missionary. I had a privilege, wonderful privilege to spend time with them, just visitation, and also preaching in Chinese to 20 people. So it was a pretty good experience. But I had many firsts in Alaska. Alaska is a different country. Everyone has guns, you know? And I guess people just wake up in the morning and you can go shoot bears. And I was, I never had this experience before. But he was taking me fishing, but he brought a gun along, just driving along the road, looking for a bear to shoot. I was trying to help him find a bear, but secretly I was praying that I wouldn't see any bear. I didn't want to spend 4 hours cleaning bears. But it was a wonderful experience. Many first time I ever shot a gun. Lived in Wisconsin for 9 years, never fired a gun before. Went to Alaska, fire a weapon. Very good experience. But let me just say this. If you're going to fire a gun, the first gun you fire should not be a 45 Magnum. I shot that thing. I hurt myself. My ears are still ringing. And it's just, it was a good thing you made sure I locked my arm, otherwise I would recoil, I would have hit my head with the gun. It was that loud. It was that small. But that's what you need to kill a bear in Alaska. So it was many firsts, and John Boylan, you'd be happy to know, I ran to another Bible-believing Episcopalian pastor. Great guy. Personally know Phil Jensen. When he found out I like Matthias Media, everything Matthias Media, he loved me. He thinks I'm a closet Episcopalian. But anyone who starts a service of Psalm 95 can't be all that bad. Amen, but it was a great time. He had a slightly different take on N.T. Wright, but very, very wonderful experience. And I'm glad to be back, and just to remind us to keep praying for our missionaries. Can I just pray before we start? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for this time. Thank you for your word, your gracious word, your word of eternal life. Lord, thank you that you do not offer us bread that we take and are hungry again. But thank you that you offer us bread for eternal life. Help us partake of that bread this day. In your precious name, amen. It was a car trip that I dread. I was driving down to Indiana with my mother. It was right after my uncle had passed away. And I was told, when I told the news to my mom that my uncle had passed away, she did not shed a tear. They're 3 years apart, and there's a lot of rough relationship tension between my mom and my uncle. And I was dreading the trip going down to Indiana. And then all along the road, she was kind of talking about how my uncle had wronged her. But when we actually got there, it was a wonderful time. And she had a wonderful time with my aunt. And we shared a meal together. We visited the graveside. It was a great experience. And afterwards, as I was driving home, my mom made this comment. She said to me, "You know what? I was so glad that your aunt didn't just cry. We actually talked." And I said to my mom, "Mom, you know what? Sometimes to be able to cry is actually a gift." And then she made a remarkable comment. She said, "You know what, Steve? I have not cried since I put you and Tom in boarding school. I've gone through many funerals. I've gone through many losses. I have never cried." And I said, to my mom, I said, "You know what, it is a gift, you know," I said, "it is a gift to cry." And
She said, you know what, I wish, and then she said this, I wish I could try. And I said, you know what, today making the visit is the right step, one step in the right process. But right after I said this, my mom just bawled. I've never ever seen my mom cry before. And this is actually the first time in my life. And after that, after this happened, I was actually able to just really share with her about God's love. It's a lot of bitterness. And what had happened was that my uncle had actually told her before that she was not a good mom because she put us in the boarding school. And so all these feelings all of a sudden were released. You know, there are times and moments in our lives when we think we're in the midst of in a place of great difficulty, a trial. I did not want to be on this car trip. But every moment you've run into in your life, Ted Tripp, a gentleman, Paul Tripp has called it, is God's moment. Every moment, every trial you run into is an opportunity for you to either turn to God and use this moment for His glory. Paul Tripp wrote this, wrote a book called An Age of Opportunity. It's written for teenagers. In this book, he's talking about the fact that teenagers will come to you with problems. But instead of turning those into problems to run away from, you should look at those opportunities as opportunities to turn the conversation to God. And you should thank God for giving you opportunities to deal with your teenagers. And I just think that, this applies broadly to our lives itself. And the trials that we've run into in our lives, these are all God moments that God has put in our lives to drive us to turn to Him, to trust Him even more. And so today, we have a passage before us. It is a God moment. It is a moment in which the disciples of Jesus are challenged to put their faith in Him. And the way it happened is that they were out on the ship. And they were actually on the evening going down to the shore serving Him. And God is going to use this moment, it's just like He wants to use all the moments in our lives to help us to grow deeper in Him. And the disciples are about to go have this experience in which they have to grow deeper in Him. So what happened here? If you have your Bible, please open to John chapter 6, verse 16. Here is the story is given to us. It said the disciples were sent by Jesus into the boat at evening time. Now, we know from last week what had happened was that Jesus had just fed the 5,000 people. And because He fed the 5,000 people, it lasted the entire day. And so that they were supposed to go across the shore, and that was delayed. And so it was evening time, and they were going across the shore. Now, what you don't know, probably don't know, is that in the Sea of Galilee, the worst time for storm is actually evening. The Sea of Galilee sits about 600 feet below sea level. It's surrounded by mountains on both sides. And so what happens is like when the cold air comes in from the sea during evening time, meets the warm air, all of a sudden you have a recipe for a perfect storm. And so it's precisely because the disciples were serving Jesus that they ran into the storm when they did. So often, when you're serving God, you run into problems you would otherwise never, ever encounter. If you weren't serving God, you probably wouldn't have sleepless nights because you're worrying about the people you're leading, you're discipling. If you weren't in charge of a ministry, you probably wouldn't have the heartache or the headache you run into. And these trials, like the trial mentioned here, has precisely happened because they're faithfully serving God. And as you're serving God, God will bring you into those moments, into those trials, into those opportunities in which you have to trust Him. And are you going to trust Him or are you not? And so we have this picture here. The guys in this boat, they're going across, and all of a sudden this huge wind hits them. And they were expert salesmen, and they couldn't do anything about it. And when they reached, well, three or about, verse 19 says, when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. And what Jesus did was that when Jesus saw them, we read in Matthew, when Jesus saw them and saw the trouble they had, He came to them walking on the ocean. Now, a lot of scholars try to explain this away and say He was actually walking along the shore. And that's absolutely false. You know, these people are in the middle of the sea, so they know Jesus was coming toward them and walking on water. And they were frightened. They actually had two fears against Him. They were afraid of the sea. And secondly, when Jesus does come, they were frightened. And what happens is, you know, this is a reminder for us as well. When we're running through trials, God will often give us help. But most of the times we will turn aside from those help. Because this is not the way we expected God to function. You know, maybe sometimes God will help you through someone you think you're superior to. Someone you look down upon. Or maybe God will help you come to you to solve your problem through an economic difficulty. But oftentimes, you know, like the disciples, they want to reject the help that God is giving to them. Jesus wants to give them. So often, in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the opportunity, we missed it. We missed it because what? Jesus is coming to us. He's giving us the help. But we don't want that help because it's not the help that we expect it to be. We turn down those opportunities and we miss our chance. When the disciples actually recognized Jesus and took Him into the boat, God actually blessed them because the trial led them to a greater worship of Him. Look at verse 21. But Jesus said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take Him into the boat. Immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. I don't know exactly how that worked. I think if you read Matthew's story, I think what had happened was that they actually spent a lot more time worshiping Him. And as they worship Him, things became smooth. The trials and the ways might still be there, but God supernaturally guided them to where they need to go. And so these trials were given to them in the midst of their difficulties. And what's amazing is that Jesus came to them in the midst of His trials. Not outside of it, but in the midst of the trials. And that's how often God reveals Himself to us. We like our lives to be free from trouble. We like our lives to be free from sorrow. But it is in the storms of life that Jesus actually reveals Himself to us. And He actually reveals Himself in a way that they would never have guessed. You know, the passage we're supposed to read this morning, Psalm 107, talks about the fact that God actually walks on water. And so that the fact that they see Jesus walking on water, they didn't say, "Hey, welcome, come on to the boat." They were absolutely terrified. Because people don't walk on water. And they just realize who they're dealing with. They're dealing with God Himself. But you see the beauty of this? As they're going through trials, as they're going through hardship,
God came to them in a way not expected. And as he came to them and they took him in, they were blessed. They were humble. God came to them in unexpected ways, just like God does today in our lives, in unexpected ways. But I want to stress to you, the reason I'm stressing that, why it's so important to meet God in the midst of our trials, to see every moment as God's moment, is what happens when we don't have those trials. There's a reason why Jesus sent them ahead of time to the storm. He sent them ahead of time in the storm so they could see him, they could meet him, and they could know him better. So that they could go through further storms in their lives and have their faith deeper. And that's what God wants to do with you and me today. Because let's look secondly at what happened to those people who did not go through the trials. And the trials, and this is actually the second part on the next day. What happened is on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there was only one boat. And when they saw that there was only one boat and that Jesus had not gone into the boat, they immediately went a frantic search for Jesus. And they didn't see Jesus on this side of the shore. So what did they do? They got on the boat, they went across to the other side. And they searched all over the place till they found Jesus. And then when they found Jesus, they said, "Jesus, Jesus, how'd you get here?" But you notice what Jesus doesn't do. Jesus does not answer their question. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you're seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves." And then he said to them, "Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him God the Father has set his seal." Jesus saw right through their heart. And so the reason why they're looking for him was that they want physical bread. That's all they were after. And Jesus here is trying to take them to the next level. Don't look for physical bread. It's gone. You eat your food, it's gone. I have a big family. We shop at Sam's and at Aldi. Nancy will bring truckloads of food inside our house. And, you know, after 2 days, it's all gone. You know, people just, you eat the food and it's gone. You know, sometimes we buy a whole cow, you know, you can buy at Sam's Club. But, you know, you eat it well and it's all gone. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He says, you know what? Don't work for those physical food. You need to eat, yes, but don't stop there. You stop there, you completely miss the point. Jesus gave us blessing. It's a good thing that Jesus gave us those blessings. But most of us make the mistake of just stopping there. You know, as Christians, you know, they're churches too. You know, that we talked about being a Christian means what? You're wealthy, you're rich, and you're missing the point. Jesus wanted to take us further, wanted to take a step further and just say, you know what? To see our soul's true need, which is spiritual food. And the people are not getting it. And what's the greatest work? So they asked, what is the greatest need? Then look at verse 28. Then they said to him, "What must we do to be doing the work of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." The work is really easy. It's not to work after food. Jesus wants to give us himself. And the way he gives us himself is that all he asks is that for us to trust in him, and he gives us this eternal life. But the problem is that the people can't
See beyond the physical. And I would say that it is the reason why Jesus took the disciples to the next step. It's that he wants, through the trials, it's that he wants them to grow closer to him. And my brothers and sisters, it's the same thing in your life and my life. Jesus takes us through those trials for a purpose. Those trials in your lives, those difficulties, are God moments. And God wants to use them to shape you, to change you, to mold you, to be the kind of person that he can use, that he can use to bless others. You know, I spent a week in Alaska. You know, and one of the most impressive things about Rob is that the fact is that 5 years ago, when I went up there, on Sunday morning service, there were 12 people. This time when I went up there, we had 20. And the only reason we had 20 was that he took a mugshot of my face and wrote that this guy will be preaching in Chinese and taped it to all the Chinese restaurants and Chinese grocery stores around town. And so we got 8 more people. But you know what? Out of those 20 people, none of them were the same people 5 years ago. We spent all of our time visiting people. And they were, most of the people were not even interested in Rob's ministry. And the reason we got a chance to visit them was they were the kids, the youth we visited 5 years ago. We had developed a relationship, and Rob said that I wanted to see them. And that's the only way I got a chance to meet them. And out of the Bible study he had, 11 people came, 2 were men. Only 2 were men. And you want to build up the church. And there's just so many difficulties. And I just thought, you know, I was so impressed with them, because if I was in his shoe, 5 years of ministry like this, I probably would have given up. I mean, we even had difficulty visiting people. I mean, we were looking for Chinese students. I rang the bell. This African-American man came out. And I said, we're looking for Chinese students. He said, I'm one of them. And, you know, and there were just so many difficulties, tremendous difficulties. The people we try to visit in the restaurants, they're not available. But you know what? What is so impressive about Rob is that in the midst of the trial he's going through, he has learned to trust Jesus. He had learned to lean upon Christ. And I just saw in him a faith that is just not easily shaken. I was really impressed with them. And now, you know, I went out there with a sense of fear and trepidation, because I didn't know how much ministry we were able to do. But you know, as we step out in faith, God blessed them. You know what? I think there's no greater joy than 2 brothers, or 2 sisters for that matter, 2 brothers going out, stepping out in faith, and just having trusting God to do something. I had a blast. You know, we were pumping caffeine at 10 o'clock, which is 2 o'clock here in Wisconsin time. But it's just like visiting people, to stay awake to be able to visit people. And we just went and visited people. We trusted Christ. And we stepped out, and God bless our efforts. We visited all these people who would normally turn us down. And there's a joy that comes from serving Christ. And if even in the midst of your trials, in the midst of some difficulty, if you trust him, God will bless you. You know, we would go up to the door, I'd ring the bell, and I don't care if a black guy, white guy, or yellow guy came out. All that mattered was that we were serving Christ. And this is what God wants to use in your life and my life, to bring you to a place closer to him, using the trials, because of the trials, bringing you deeper into knowledge of him. And I think this sermon, you know, has application to you if you're not a Christian here this morning. If you're not a believer this morning, you know, there's probably a reason why you're in church. You're here probably because you like the caring people, the caring, loving, thoughtful, attractive, kind people here in church. Well, I'm glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Because we believe, you know what? The church is blessed by God. And so these are the blessings of God you see. But don't stop there. Because Jesus wants to take you further. He wants to make you into one of those thoughtful, attractive, kind, loving, good people. But see, most of us, the problem is that we don't want to go. We want to stop. We cut ourselves way short. And then we find ourselves that we are on the outside looking in. Jesus wants to take you further. He will, and He can, if you love Him. And you'll discover how wonderful a life Jesus offers. And I think this sermon actually applies to us as Christians too. No, because we as Christians, we can run into the problem of looking at things from a superficial level as well. We can look at things like bread, treat people like bread. What do I mean? You know, after you get in church, you know, you realize some people who are attractive, kind, loving, gentle, are not so as much as you think. And sometimes it's easy to have tension with people. And please, I'm talking to myself too. And so what happens is that oftentimes in the back of our minds, we as Christians, we could look at ministry, or church for that matter, from a purely physical standpoint. We like a church, we like a ministry because of the parking, because of certain things, the things that they'll provide for us. And sometimes, you know, even with tension with people, it is so easy sometimes just to think, I'm just going to get out of here, I'll find somewhere to live better. I know it's a temptation, you know, I run across people who are Latter-day Saints, nice people. Sometimes I forget and think on a purely superficial level. Maybe they're right. But what Jesus wants to take is in the midst of our difficulties, is He wants to take us, challenge us to go deeper as well. So are you going to take Jesus deeper? There's no one of my greatest heroes in the Bible is actually Job. Job had everything. He had wealth. He had children. He had blessings everywhere. And one day it was completely gone. And his wife said, what are you going to do now? And Job said, naked I came from the womb. Naked I go. The name of the Lord be praised. Job didn't need all this stuff. He just needed God. And that's what God wants to take you and me. He wants to take the trials in our lives and use them as an opportunity for us to grow closer to Him. May we do so. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You. Thank You so much for Your goodness, for Your mercy. Father, I thank You, Lord, for trials You bring into our lives. Father, help us to use those trials as moments that we can trust You, that we can walk with You faithfully, and that we can grow deeper to knowing You. Lord, show us that there's nothing better or greater than knowing You, Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, help us, Lord, we all have our struggles and trials in terms of in looking at physical things for rewards. Help open our eyes that we can see our truth and get our true nourishment from You. Thank You in Your precious name.